Well, praise God. It is good to be with you this morning, but it's even better that we're together in the presence of the Lord. It's really the Lord who is in charge. He's in charge. And, you know, many of you have been here for some of the sermons here, and you see that I plan sermons, and sometimes it doesn't go the way that I plan because the Holy Spirit is in charge.
Amen.
So we're going to continue to follow his lead with our teaching today, and I'm gonna reiterate some books that I recommended last week, and actually they're printed in the back of your notes, but I'm gonna highlight them again. And we've been talking about, we started off several weeks ago, I think it's months ago now, we were talking about spiritual parenting and discipleship, and that just exploded into all of the kinds of subtopics. And one of the subtopics we're covering today is singleness, which we started last week. And so I want to touch on these things briefly. So a few reading materials that I recommend you get. One is by Miles Monroe, Single, Married, Separated, and Life After Divorce. An excellent book. He really takes a really unique perspective on the topic. And if you're thinking about any of these matters, this is a really good book to read. Another book, excellent book by Jack Hayford, a well-respected man of God across many Christian circles. He has a book called Sex and the Single Soul, Guarding Your Heart and Mind in a World of Empty Promises. Excellent book. It really gives you a strong foundation. And if you're single, a fantastic perspective. And for the married people, I've not forgotten about you. The way we're talking about singleness is that single people should be married to the heart of God, but married people can be single-hearted.
Amen.
You're still an individual person.
Yeah.
That has to grow and develop and mature. And I've read this book, and I got wonderful things from it. It's called How One of You Can Bring the Two of You Together.
All right.
Breakthrough Strategies to Resolve Your Conflicts and Reignite Your Love by Susan Page. It is fantastic, and it is a roll-up-your-sleeves book. So I recommend, and actually she invites you to do this, to get a partner, someone that's going to hold you accountable, and the two of you can work on it and work on improving yourselves in your marriages together. But it's a fantastic book, and if you're in a situation where you feel like it's all on you, like she's basically saying, if it's all on you to fix the marriage, there are some things you can do.
All right. That
don't rely on your spouse making the change first. And there really are a lot of options. So check out these books and read them. They are fantastic material. But we're going to get back into our focus, hashtag single life part two. And I'm going to review a little bit from last week and then get into some more material here. So we talked about that the end goal of parenting is to produce a mature single adult who is married to the heart of God. A mature single adult who is married to the heart of God. Biblical singleness requires the same kind of fidelity that marriage requires.
Amen. Amen.
And we'll get into this a little bit later, but the reason why you know the concept of singleness in the world doesn't have the kind of dynamic quality that the Bible describes that we can have is that people don't really choose into it with any kind of intentionality. They're sort of single by default. They're running away from singleness instead of running to it.
Yeah.
Because the reward is in being intentional about your singleness.
Mm-hmm.
We'll get into that. And basically, last week we talked about eunuchs because Jesus talks about singleness within the context of eunuchs. We saw that in Matthew 19, but it says, we talked about how eunuchs are people who make themselves dead to sexual impulse. They do not respond to invitations to act upon sexual desire so that they can be responsive to the king. And for background, we're going to read Matthew 19, 11 through 12. And Jesus is talking to some Pharisees and he's explaining about the marriage commitment. And they're responding to him like, whoa, that's pretty intense. But he says in Matthew 19, 11 through 12, verse 11, he says, but he said to them, not everyone can receive this saying. That is, everyone's not really prepared or ready to commit to the fidelity of marriage. But only those to whom it is given. Verse 12, he says, for there are eunuchs who have been so from birth. And these are, a eunuch basically is a man who's been castrated. His private parts have been cut off. And for some people, Jesus is saying, some people are like that from birth, a birth defect, right? And then there are eunuchs who have been made eunuchs by men. So in ancient times, there were people who were forced to be eunuchs. Sometimes, oftentimes they were slaves, and they were the people who were sent to serve the king because people felt that people who were eunuchs were less of a threat. Okay. And so they were forced to be eunuchs. That's what it's saying, by men. But then there's this third category, and there are eunuchs who have made themselves eunuchs for the sake of the kingdom of heaven. And I don't know if this is referring to them actually castrating themselves as much as it has to do with deciding that I'm going to not be responsive to this part of my life so that I can be responsive to what the Lord wants for me.
Yeah.
Amen.
My focus is going to be on the Lord. So my focus is not going to be on my impulses, those things that immediately gratify me. So we can look at eunuchs in a literal sense, but you can think about people who are spiritual eunuchs. Who, as single people, they don't give themselves over to what the world characterizes as the single life.
All right.
Because a single life in the world is one in which we are simply, not simply, but oftentimes responding to invitations to fulfill our fleshly desires. Let's continue. The single life needs to be redefined by the eunuch experience in Scripture, a life of service to the king and in which we subject lower order desires to higher order desires. Lower order desires are below, and higher order desires, those being priority. And I know, and I started this last week, I know this sounds unrealistic because we're human beings, and it's difficult, even if you know better, to not respond to an invitation to satisfy you with pleasure when it's right in front of you. And even the best of us, when it's right in front of us, how do you resist that practically? I mean, you respect people who are disciplined and noble and moral and all those different kind of things. But the reality is, when we think about it, we say, well, that's not realistic. But I want to talk about it today so that you can recognize that it actually is realistic. If you have the right power source. Because God is not inviting to us to do this in our own strength. He's not inviting us to follow him just by our willpower, but by the power of the Holy Spirit. And when I say the power of the Holy Spirit, I'm not just throwing out a religious phrase. I'm talking about a real power that's just as real as the electricity lighting these lights. A power that is just as real as the power that's powering your phones. It's real power to do the things that God has called you to do. What would you do if you could do whatever God asked you to do and he gave you the power to do it if it didn't rely on you? And that's what he's saying. It doesn't rely on merely your willpower or merely your capacities, but it relies on the Holy Spirit, a higher order desire. You won't like those things less. It's more about liking him more, loving him more. And the momentum of loving him will pull you away from those things.
All right. Good word.
As I was saying last service, I like donuts. I do. I can't eat them every time they're offered to me. I will have them occasionally. I will eat sweets occasionally, but I can't have sweets every time I want them or like them. They're offered to me all the time. I'm a professor, and at a university, they like giving teachers donuts. Oh, they have them lined up. Free donuts? All the tasty ones. And I'll take one sometimes, but I can't do it all the time. Why? Because I have a higher order desire. It's called my health. It's called my energy. It's called long life. It's called not having my arteries clogged up. So that I can continue to do the things that God has called me to. It's not that I don't still like donuts and they don't still look tasty and smell tasty. It's just that I love something else more.
Yeah.
And after a while, it's not a big deal. I mean, it's there, but it's, go have some peanuts, drink some water. That doesn't sound exciting, but when you get into a rhythm of taking care of your body, man, that water tastes good. That broccoli tastes good. Because you develop a taste for what's healthy for you. Okay, we'll skip this scripture here that I have here, and we'll go on to this next part here. So to further illustrate this, I want to make a distinction between basically the good life versus the God life.
All right.
The good life versus the God life. The world promises the good life. But good as defined by humans. What humans think are good, believe are good, good for us. And they're basically things that we believe will make us happy. That's mainly what it is. Whatever will make you happy. Is it success? Is it a romantic interest? Is it money? Is it fame? Is it food? Whatever it is. And that's what commercials do primarily. When corporations are trying to get you to market their products, they don't give you all the technical stuff. They may give some of that stuff. But they really frame it within the context of a story and saying, buy this, you will be happy. Buy this, you will be happy. People will want to date you every day. You'll be attractive. You'll be wealthy. You'll be successful. You'll be smart if you eat this hamburger. If you buy this screwdriver. If you buy this device. If you buy this car. It will make you happy. So it talks about the good life, but the way humans define it. But scripture promises Zoe, which is a Greek word, the name of our church, which is the God kind of life. I'm just going to say the God life. Zoe is the God life. The God life is the good life. But good as defined by God. God defines what is good. He knows what is best for us.
Amen.
Let's go to John 10, verse 10, and we're going to read this passage to kind of enunciate this. It says that the thief, and when Jesus is talking here, the thief is the devil. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. But Jesus says, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Some versions say have it more abundantly. Have an abundant supply of life. This life is eternal. It lasts forever. It bounces back. What the devil has to offer us is temporary or temporal, and that's the problem with it. It provides immediate satisfaction, but it's gone.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Amen.
This world, and we're going to read about it, John teaches us, it's passing away. It's like grass. It's here one day, and Isaiah talks about this. This is how the Lord describes this life. It's like grass. It's here one day. It's all tall, and then the lawnmower comes, and it's gone.
Uh-huh.
That's life in the world.
Yeah.
It's temporary.
Amen.
It's a paper plate. What regard do you have for a paper plate? Not much. You're just going to use it to eat and then you're going to throw it away.
All right.
That's how you should think of this life. You enjoy it for what it is, then you toss it.
Yeah. Yeah.
But when we have worldly thinking, we buy real estate on that paper plate. We buy hotels and get all this property and all this investment. We got all of our Monopoly pieces on this paper plate and not realizing that we're about to throw this thing away. Go in the trash. It'll be gone. But our whole life is tied to it because we want things that we want to perpetually be pleasured and perpetually have our emotions satisfied and our egos boosted. Let's keep going. Okay. So Jesus wants to give us the God life. And we find the God life in Jesus.
Amen.
We follow him by listening to his voice. And in John 10, 27, we're seeing support for this. Jesus is speaking here as a shepherd. He says, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. So to find the God life, we have to listen to the voice of Scripture. Jesus communicates to us through the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit in us and the Holy Spirit in Scripture. The Holy Spirit lives in us and speaks to our hearts, but the Holy Spirit is also speaking to us through the Word. These are not just words put on a page by men who are dead. They were inspired by the Holy Spirit. And so every time you read the Bible, you are speaking with the Holy Spirit, and that is Jesus communicating to us. The Holy Spirit is Jesus' medium of communication to us. He's no longer walking physically, but he said he would send us a helper, and he communicates through the medium of the Holy Spirit. Just like you communicate, can I borrow this, babe? Through the medium of a phone. And Jesus is talking. You don't see him, but you got the phone. So through the phone, you experience and understand what Jesus the shepherd is saying and how he's leading us. The Holy Spirit is that phone.
Yeah.
He's the media tool through which we hear from the Lord Jesus.
Yeah.
And he's leading us to the God life. When we read Psalms 23, thank you, love. When we read Psalms 23 and it talks about the shepherd is leading us and guiding us to the God life where the good grass is green and it ain't going away. We got to follow the shepherd and hear his voice, not the voice of our flesh, not the voice of the world, because the voice of the flesh and the world is seeking immediate gratification.
Yeah.
I can get this now.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
Let's continue. I think I said some of this already, but since it's in the notes, hence the voice of Jesus is in the scripture.
Amen.
The voice of the world is in our flesh. The world and the flesh, they're bosom buddies. They like to hang out together. The medium the world uses to communicate to us is through our flesh. Our flesh is beyond just our body. It's a way of thinking.
Yeah, yeah, come on.
And it tries to convince us to do the opposite of what the Lord wants us to do. The world serenades our flesh and causes us to fall in love with it. The world serenades our flesh and causes us to fall in love with it, it being the world. The world wants to seduce us. And I'm not against commercials or marketing or corporations, but what I'm saying is when you watch commercials, you know, you sometimes you don't even know what they're selling because they're selling you a story and say, you'll be happy if you buy this. You'll be fulfilled in life. And it gives you all these little wonderful scenarios. And they have wonderful filmmakers and people who can find actors who can really. But I was watching this commercial not too long ago. I think it was Alexa. And it was a tearjerker. And it was this mom who was, you know, watching her daughter play, you know, soccer outside. And Alexa was all a part of it. It was just bringing the family together. And I'm not saying it doesn't have practical things, but it added a little something else to the commercial to appeal to our need to have significance in life. And the reality of it is that Alexa tool is temporary. It's going to pass away. It'll probably break at some point. It's not our source of joy, but the commercial will make you think it is. When we fall in love with the world, we put good and bad in the wrong categories. When we fall in love with the world, we put good and bad in the wrong categories. John warns us about this deception, and we're going to read 1 John 2, 15 through 17. And it reads like this. Do not love the world. Do not love the world. It's okay to enjoy things as they come, but don't love it. Do not love the world or anything in the world. Anything in the world. You save those affections for the Lord.
Amen. Tell it.
Those special affections, I can't live without you, all that kind of stuff. You know, it's interesting. I'm a musician, and sometimes I get asked to play at weddings. And, it's fun to play some of these songs. All I Do Is Think About You, Stevie Wonder. Fun to play, fun to listen to. It's psychotic, though.
Right, come on.
It's psychotic. I need you. You need to think about something else sometimes. Ascension, you're the highest of the high. Again, fun to sing, fun to play. I played it. I'm a saxophone player. But if you listen to the psychology of it, it's bad thing. It's unhealthy.
Right, 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 right. Come on, come on.
Your love interest can't be the highest of the high, because they're going to disappoint you. They're human beings. They make mistakes. And when they're elevated above all things, and then they mess up, then you've been out of shape. Your joy has to be in the Lord. And your spouse, you're a human being. You may be temporarily frustrated or angry, upset, or all those things. Of course, we experience human emotions. But then, you know, you can't let your anger turn into bitterness, your sadness turn into depression, your concern turn into anxiety, because your spouse won't do what you want them to do. What they have to work on is between them and God. God's concern is for us to act right. And regardless of how our spouse acts, God requires us to be mature. Well, you say, that's not fair. They're going to get away with it. It ain't about them. God's like, this is about you. What you doing? And we don't really experience our spouse directly. What we experience is the combination of what you and your spouse create together. So when you change, the marriage changes. By definition, because it is automatically the two of you. You are already changing the quality of the marriage by you changing by yourself.
Amen. Good word.
Let's continue. The world's offer is convincing because it delivers on the spot. It's like Amazon. You mean it'll come to my door tomorrow? And they got some services where it can come the same day. I don't have to go to the store. I don't have to get out of my bathrobe. And if you got it really nice, you have a little window there, and they just slide it in, and you don't talk to nobody. Have a drone fly it in. That's a hard deal to beat. Amazon Prime, boy. The world offers the most direct connection to things that give us physical pleasure, emotional satisfaction, and boosted egos. And I can just click, 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 click. But it's not just the clicking, it's how we experience life. And I want to say this thing, because both men and women deal with this, but there's this myth out there that people think is especially true with men, that men simply can't control themselves. That, you know, guys just being guys, men just being men, and, you know, they do what they do. Even if they marry, they just do what they do. What you gonna do? A man gotta be a man. I don't believe that.
Amen.
I don't believe it. And I need to say this, because if you're a guy, you might be thinking that, well, you know, I could live differently, but I'm a dude. I mean, it's not realistic. That's what guys tell each other. It's not realistic. If you was here first service, don't say nothing. What's your favorite meal?
Pizza.
Okay. What kind of pizza you like?
Pepperoni and pineapple.
Okay. What's your favorite pizza spot?
Pyology.
That's cool. You ever been to Chicago? You ever been to New York?
Yes.
Okay. You ever had pizza from New York? Okay. So I want you to imagine we're going to your favorite pizza restaurant. Not your favorite one, the best pizza spot in New York. With your favorite pizza. What is it again?
Pyology.
Okay, let's just forget Pyology. I mean, what kind of pizza? Pepperoni and pineapple. Okay, let's just say, look, man, they grass-fed these pigs. In fact, they spent time making sure it was the best grass. Then they fed these pigs and raised them healthy. And out of them pigs, they made that pepperoni. Okay, then they got pineapple straight from Hawaii, specially grown for you. They got cheese from cow's milk that was grass-fed cows, and they spent years preparing for this pizza. Okay, what else you like? What you like to drink?
Powerade.
Okay, Powerade got the best Powerade in the world, man. The manufacturer came themselves and made you some Powerade. What you like for dessert?
A cookie.
A cookie, okay. Chocolate chip, okay. The best bakers in the world, all the ingredients fresh, and you haven't eaten all day. Got that waiting for you, brother, in New York. You ready? Okay, here's the catch. In this pizza, they put just a little bit of feces, just a little bit, and a little bit of urine. But hey, you can't taste it. It's good, chef. You cannot taste it. You won't know. I mean, you wouldn't know if you tasted it. But you know what's in there. But it tastes good, though. It tastes good. How appetizing is that pizza? Can you control your impulse now? You can smell it. I mean, all your senses going off. Right? But you ain't gonna eat that pizza. Why? That girl is poison. Don't do it. Don't do it. If you're married, don't flirt with somebody who's not your spouse. That girl or that boy is poison to you. To you is poison. Don't do it. It's not good. Ain't nothing there good for you. And you can stop yourself from eating poison. You can be celibate. If you can stop yourself from eating poison, you can be faithful to your spouse. All you have to know is that there is a higher priority at work. And suddenly you got the motivation not to eat that pizza, even though you're hungry. Even though they have it in your face. We're responsible for us. Don't blame how somebody's dressed. We're responsible for how we act, how we respond.
Right. Good word.
Ladies, that boy is poison. Charming, handsome, well-dressed, well-spoken, saying all the things you want to hear. Poison. Don't do it. I've seen people, smart people, intelligent people, professional people, and they're smart in every other category. But when it comes to that young man or that young lady, all the sense goes out the window. But if you recognize you're eating poison in installments, you're going to stop quick. I'm done. Because the reality is, God has something better than that pizza. Oh, will you just wait for the meal God is preparing for you? It's gourmet. He said, just hold on, because this meal takes time to cook. Don't worry, just drink the water on the table, the water of the word. And let that feed you. I know it seems like it's not satisfying, but that water is good for your soul.
Amen.
And when I give you the meal, as he told the Samaritan woman, when I give you this drink, when I give you this food, when I give you this nourishment, you won't be thirsty ever again.
Thank you, Lord.
Good word.
Amen.
And that's really the best time to think about getting into a relationship when you don't need one. When you're happy and joyful and peaceful, just you and God. In fact, your personal peace is the best gift you can give your future spouse. I love you and want to be with you, but I don't need you for my joy and my peace. God has that part. And I'm gonna take my piece and add to the relationship, and you take your piece and add to the relationship, and we just keep going. Okay. Okay, we're almost out of time here. So what I'm going to do, well, first service got some things you guys didn't get. You all got some things the first service didn't get. So they're the fill in the blanks. I just thought I'm going to do it. The fill in the blanks are, I'm going to have to ask you to get that online. We're just out of time. We're just out of time. Okay. So we're going to do it that way. But I think I'll leave. What I'll do is go to, because some of the stuff I've been telling you anyway without going into the notes itself. But I'll say this. If you jump down to the biblical view of singleness. Biblically speaking, you are either married or single. The only thing that lies in between is engagement. Amen. Dating, it's a lot of things, but it should at least be an interview.
Right?
Come on.
What we doing? We shouldn't be indefinitely undefined. What is that? What are you trying to do? You don't have to put pressure on people. You just need clarity.
Yeah.
If you engage, you engaged.
Yeah.
If you're married, you're married. If you're single, you're single. Not we talking. What does that mean? That might be okay temporarily as you're kind of filling things out. That's okay. But it can't be long term. What is that? You are lying to yourself. Telling you yourself is going to work and it's not working because you're accommodating each other's immaturity. That's why you're in the relationship, because it's giving you quick emotional satisfaction, physical pleasure, and boosted ego. When you date, you should be exploring marriage. And all this stuff on television, you know, these little, 11-year-olds, 12-year-olds dating, it's cute. That's all it is. It's just cute. You know what a marriage is? It is lifetime service to the Lord by serving your spouse.
Wow.
Lifetime service to your spouse as unto the Lord and perpetual personal growth and development. Are you signing up for that? Are you ready for that? If not, stay single. Don't even foster all that stuff. It's cute and it's okay. People hang out and stuff like that. But when we watch these television programs, it makes it seem like all these things are just innocent and cute, and they're not. These young people don't even know what they're signing up for. And then they get too close to each other before they even had a regular friendship. Be a good friend to somebody. Seek a friendship. Be there for somebody. That will help you to practice the fidelity necessary to be in a relationship down the road. Be a good friend. Okay. Biblical relationships are intentional, even the ones we have with ourselves. It is the intentionality, not the status, that creates the benefits. Even though you are literally single, until you choose singleness, you won't reap the benefits.
Good word.
Choose to be. In fact, what we really need to do, we need to have a ceremony for singles.
Amen.
You should buy a ring. And formally commit yourself to the Lord. Enunciate it. Make it public. The same way married people do. And you stay that way until or unless God brings someone into your life.
Yeah.
Good word.
Because you should take that as seriously as married people take marriage.
Amen.
Or should take marriage.
Amen.
Let's pray.